I invite you to please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, where we will also be looking to Genesis, a couple of different chapters there this morning. Welcome any guests we have this morning. You're very welcome here. We're glad to have you this morning. We will be looking at the Word of God this morning, for that is what we need. There's many voices trying to speak to us this day through various means, media, internet, and whatnot, and we have the truth right here, God's Word. Anger. When you think of anger, what comes to your mind? We see a lot of anger today, do we not? Some in here may be angry this morning. Some things I say this morning may indeed anger you. Anger is something we can all relate to, even from the youngest among us. We all know what it means to be angry. Robert Jones, in his book, Uprooting Anger, he says this: anger is a universal problem, prevalent in every culture, experienced by every generation. No one is isolated from its presence, immune from its presence. Each person, and spoils our most intimate relationships. Anger is a given part of our fallen human fabric. Sadly, this is even true in our Christian homes and churches. Let me also read you from Baxter's small book, paperback, highly recommended to you, on anger. It's broken down in very small sections. But here he says, on anger, consider how much other sin stems from sinful anger. It is like drunkenness, he says, in which a man does not have control of himself, and so lays himself open to great wickedness. How many oaths and curses, yea, how many rash and actions? What villainy has anger not done? It has slandered, it has blasphemed, reproach, falsely accused. It has murdered and ruined families and states. It has made parents kill their children and children dishonor their parents. It has made kings oppress and murder their subjects, and subjects rebel and murder kings. What a world of sin is committed by sin throughout the world. How endless are the illustrations of it. David himself was once drawn by it to intend murdering the whole family of Nabal. All of this should make it odious to us. Anger. But then we see here in the Word of God this morning, as we have been looked at before, Paul saying to us, 25, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And then he says something here, and I will say this as well. This is going to be two messages on anger because of what verse 32 says as well. But here Paul says, be angry, and yet do not sin. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So what is this here? This is a warning on the misuse of anger. License to be angry, to lash out. What is anger? Where does it come from? What do we do about it? Questions to be thinking about. as we go through this. But also there is righteous anger and there is unrighteous anger. Or righteous anger and sinful anger. Here's what Jay Adams says, and he's what they call the father of nuthetic counseling, now known as ACBC, was NANC before. This is what he said. He says, anger is not sinful, but when it is directed towards others in order to hurt them, or an uncontrolled outburst, it becomes sinful. So, righteous anger, let's examine that this morning. I also want to recommend R.C. Sproul's teaching on anger down on Ligonier. I believe it is for free still. Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. Uprooting Anger, I have not read it, but from what I read, the quotes of it, there's some very good things in there. And then Richard Baxter's book on anger. But righteous anger, think of God being angry. John 3:36. I'll read the scriptures for you. You don't have to turn there, just follow along, please. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life. But what? But the wrath of God abides on him, or the wrath of God remains on him. The one who does not obey the Son, the one who does not see life. Psalm 7, verse 11. God is a righteous judge, and a God who has indignation every day. 1 Kings 15:30. And because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned, and which he made Israel sin, because of his provocation with which he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger, provoking God to anger. And in 2 Kings 23:26. However, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath with which his anger burned against Judah, because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him. And if we read the New Testament, we see that Jesus expressed righteous anger. Remember the accounts in Matthew 21 and John chapter 2, where there were those who made a temple, the temple, a den of robbers. I read the scriptures for you, John 2:13-17. The Passover of the Jews was near. So this is multitudes of people everywhere. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found the temple, in the temple, those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. And so he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, "Take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Jesus, the Son of God, sinless, perfect, and we see righteous anger. If we look at Genesis chapter 33, we will see righteous anger, or righteous indignation as well. But then we'll see how the actions that took place after that were not. Look at Genesis. We'll start in chapter 34, verse 1. My heading in the text says, "The treachery of Jacob's sons." Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to visit the daughters of the land. When Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her, he took her and lay with her by force. He was deeply attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, And he loved the girl and spoke tenderly to her. So Shechem spoke to his father, Hamor, saying, "Get me this young girl for a wife." Now Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. But his sons were with his livestock in the field. So Jacob kept silent until they came in. Then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with them. Now the sons of Jacob came in the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very angry because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, for such a thing ought not to be done. Think if you have a sister, if this was done to your sister, and the righteous indignation, the anger that would be in your heart, and what you would want to do, or what I would want to do if someone did that to my sister. And then we see how they responded, these two sons, Simeon and Levi. Although their indignation was justified because of what happened to this Dinah, they responded with unrestrained anger. What did they do? Just for time's sake, we'll skip through some of this. Verse 13. But Jacob's sons answered Shechem and his father Hamor with deceit. So they were deceitful to them because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. They said to them, "We cannot do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, that it would be a disgrace for us. Only on this condition will we consent to you. If you become like us, and that every male of you be circumcised, then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters for ourselves, and we will live with you and become one people. But if you will not listen to us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and go." So they were tricking, being deceitful, having all of these men circumcised for a reason. And what was that reason? Well, if we know the account here, we'll see. Let's just read verse 22. "Only on this condition will the men consent to live with us, to become one people, that every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Will not their livestock and their property and all their animals be ours? Only let us consent to them, and they will live with us." All who went out of the gate of his city listened to Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. So what did they do? It came about on that third day when they were in pain from the circumcision, that two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came upon that city unawares and killed every male. So they killed everyone for what happened. In this, they dishonored God and their father, Jacob. Look at verse 30. "Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, 'You have brought trouble on me by making me odious among the inhabitants of the land. What you did, Simeon and Levi, you have brought trouble upon me among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and my men being few in number, they will gather together against me and attack me, and I will be destroyed, I and my household.' But they said, 'Should he treat our sister as a harlot?'" But later on, in Genesis 49, Jacob says something very interesting. Later down the road, verse 5 and following, a few verses there. Now, he's speaking of prophecy concerning his sons, all the sons mentioned there, and what would happen, and what they get, and etc. "Simon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their counsel. Let not my glory be united with their assembly. because in their anger they slew me, and in their self-will they lamed oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So we see the result of their unrestrained anger. But righteous anger, think of William Wilberforce, 1759 to 1833, a member of Parliament. He had righteous indignation over the atrocities of slave trade. Member of Parliament, an abolitionist, radically converted as a young politician. He fought for more than 40 years to abolish it in England. An abolitionist is a person who favors the abolition of a practice or institution. He does not just say, I'm pro this or pro that. He says, we are going to end this, and it's my heart cry to do this because it's an injustice. He had righteous indignation. And as children of God, there are times when we should have righteous indignation. When we encounter gross injustice, blatant wickedness. So we must ask, is my anger, or anger that may be dwelling in our hearts, is it righteous or unrighteous? Well, righteous anger arises from an accurate perception of true evil. That is a violation of God's moral law. It focuses on God and His will, not on me and my will. There is always self-control in righteous anger, not a temper with righteous anger. Righteous anger is over sin, it is over evil, and it is over injustice. So when a loved one makes a mistake and spills the pot roast, that does not warrant righteous anger. Accidents that happen. And one may say, well, I'm righteously angry about that thing. Traffic. I've seen it here. You should see it in Orlando. Way worse. When something goes different than I planned. But righteous anger is over sin, evil, and injustice. Not because things don't go our way. When we see human beings being violated, when I see the news and I see a young man walking down the street and there's a 92-year-old lady walking, minding her own business, and he pushes her in the head and she falls down to the ground. When we see the Word of God maligned, when people use the Lord's name in vain, it ought to cause a righteous indignation in us. It should not cause us to be indifferent or lethargic in our thinking. We should be very concerned if we are desensitized to things that ought to have us to be righteously angry over. Against sin and evil. Yet often anger in us is too often unrighteous or sinful anger. So the scripture here says, be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Our bent is to sin when we are angry. If we do not get our way, someone else is going to pay. And someone's going to know about it. to help us see which one we are usually prone to, righteous anger or unrighteous anger, or righteous anger and sinful anger, I'll read contrasts that Lou Priolo gives in his book, The Heart of Anger. Righteous anger is when God does not get what he wants, he says. Okay, we understand that God always gets what he wants in his sovereignty, that nothing's going to be out of his will or his control. Righteous anger, he says, is when God does not get what he wants. Sinful anger is when I do not get what I want. Righteous anger is motivated by a sincere love for God. Sinful anger is motivated by a love of some idolatrous desire. It could be an idolatrous desire of my comfort. Well, I've been doing this all day, now I'm going to sit down here. And do not dare disturb me. Righteous anger, God's will is violated. Sinful anger, my will is violated. Are we seeing contrasts here thus far? Righteous anger, Christ is Lord of my life. Sinful anger, I am the Lord of my life. I was listening to a sermon recently by Brian Borgman. I would highly recommend sermons by Brian Borgman, Reformed Baptist pastor in Nevada. I was struck by something he said from a sermon he preached years ago. When God is angry, he always remains holy. Think about that. When God is angry, he always remains holy. And looking at these contrasts from Lou Priolo in the book, The Heart of Anger, we can conclude that most of our anger is not like God's anger as described in the Scriptures. I believe there's over 450 references to indignation or wrath in the Bible. Most of our anger, left unchecked, turns into what is described in verse 31. Let all bitterness, back in Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And Lord willing, we'll see that next week. But we'll touch on it a little bit here. Bitterness, a bitter frame of mind. Irritable state of mind. Animosity being harbored. Crabby. Wrath. Indignation. Like a volcano coming out. Exploding. Resentment coming out. Anger, hostility, a very large cold shoulder, clamor means to cry out, to call out, shout, raging verbally and physically, brawling, road rage, home rage, rioting, slander. Blasphemy, slanderous speak, evil speaking, unwarranted, unbiblical rebuke. Malice, in anger, plotting to do harm to someone. See, in unrighteous anger, we either vent, it comes out, or we clam up. Claim up sometimes looks like pouting, sulking, being in a bad mood, moping. Be angry, a command, but do not sin. Do not give the devil a place, an occasion. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. So, Paul gets this from Psalm 4:4. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Tremble. Stand in awe of God. Do not sin. Search your heart before God before anger leads you to sin. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed. Think about that tonight when you go and lay on your bed. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Paul was rightfully assuming here that the audience that would originally be receiving this would at times be angry. The NIV puts it this way, this verse, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." So we have a command followed by a prohibition. Be angry, do not sin. Lloyd-Jones says this, "It is our duty to be angry in certain respects, but that we must never be angry in a sinful manner, never in a temper," he says, helps us understand. So if your spouse leaves dirty laundry on the floor and you lash out with verbal assaults, that's not righteous indignation. If you're cut off in traffic and you proceed to use unwholesome speech at the driver, that is not righteous anger. So we are clear bringing this to our situation in the United States today. Culturally, rioting is not righteous anger. Tearing down statues is not righteous anger. There is a lot of unrighteous anger today. So ask this question of yourself. Can you be described as being angry often? Irritable? Short-tempered? See, we use that word irritable. It sounds a little better. You know, I'm not angry, I'm just irritable today. Oh, okay. I get irritable. Especially if I take a nap in the afternoon and I first wake up. It's not godly. Can you be described as being angry often, irritable, short-tempered? If so, you're not exhibiting righteous anger. You have an anger problem, which is a sin problem, and you need to deal with it. When we look for elders in the church or deacons in the church, we are not to be ones who are quick-tempered, outbursts of anger. That should not even be named among us as one of the qualifications. When we see anger in the Bible, in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 4, with Cain and Abel, I'll just read it for you. So it came about, you remember Cain and Abel, chapter 4, verse 3 through 8, you could read it later. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. So he was very angry. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain told his brother Abel. And it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. So this anger inside he had led to murder, the actual act. But let us look at this sin is crouching at the door. Sin is crouching at the door of our lives, in our homes especially. Fathers, happy Father's Day, by the way. But sin is crouching at the door, ready to destroy. The devil is crouching at the door, ready to destroy. So we're sitting there, and there's a little knock, little baby knock at the door. We open that door. Sin is crouching at that door, ready to take us out. And if we're given to a disposition to sinful anger, that sin is crouching at the door. And we must master it by the grace of God, because it is ready to pounce. Like I said before, with lying, one lie can ruin your testimony. One outburst of anger can ruin your testimony as well. Of course, we serve a God who is forgiving, a God of grace, and there's hope, and hope in Him. Cain and Abel. Though this is where the phrase comes in, raising Cain. Well, he came in here and he raised Cain. Angry, and he lashed out. Remember what Jesus said about murder, Mark chapter 7. And remember what he said on the Sermon on the Mount as well. Mark chapter 7, I'll read it for you, the heart of man. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, and adulteries. So thefts and murders. And Jesus says, paraphrasing, he who is angry with his brother without cause is just as guilty as being a murderer. Because what does anger in our heart lead to? It's murder in our minds. We want to murder that person, or we are murdering them, but not doing the physical act. Where does this come from? So oftentimes we blame somebody else, or we blame a circumstance for our anger. Well, why did you get angry? Well, so-and-so said this, or so-and-so did this, or this is what happened to me, therefore I became angry. Well, the Bible says right here that murders come from within. We have to always go back to our heart and do a heart check. Can we and do we have buttons, these hot buttons? Absolutely. Absolutely. We best avoid these buttons. We best have those around us that know these buttons, that can help nurture us through this. Not press those just to get a rise out of us and for us to get angry. Listen what the Proverbs say dealing with anger. I'm going to read numerous Proverbs. So please write these down if you have a pen and you want to memorize these later or read these later. Proverbs 14, 16 through 17. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil. But a fool, okay, the Bible says, but a fool is arrogant and careless. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. So if you can be described as a quick-tempered man, you act foolishly. And a man of evil devices is hated. Proverbs 14:29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding. What's that little train to get you to the White Mountain? That little one you ride on takes like an hour and a half or couple hours, and it goes like 3 miles an hour. That's slow, right? Slow, it takes a long time to get up there. That's what I've read anyway. Slow to anger, slow to get to that. One who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Proverbs 15:1, one that I memorized recently. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Think about that. A gentle answer turns away wrath. And we have the ability to respond to people who are angry with a gentle answer. Rather than saying, okay, you know, you want to go toe-to-toe with me verbally? Let's do this. We can turn away wrath with a gentle answer. Not always. These are principles. Harsh words stirs up anger. Extreme sarcasm. Does that hurt? Think about that. When you say, well, I'm just sarcastic, are you hurting people verbally? If you are sarcastic a lot, ask those who you're sarcastic with if that's hurting them. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms the dispute. So hot-tempered. You know, that's one, okay, you got to walk on eggshells because he's hot-tempered or she's hot-tempered. Just like that, off the fly, boom, flying off the handle. Watch out. That should never, ever be a disposition of the born-again Christian. And if it is, there is help. Look at the warning in Proverbs 22:24-25. My mouth is moving quicker than my brain, or vice versa, this morning. Do not associate with a man given to anger. Young ladies, or any lady in here that's single, listen to this, pay attention to this, and say, I remember a man said this to me, and it came from the Word of God. When you're thinking about looking for a spouse, or a spouse is looking for you, do not associate with a man given to anger, or with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. Or if you're in college, or your guys who you work with, and they're given to anger and they're hot-tempered, we have to be on guard with that. Do not associate with a man given to anger. Slow to anger. Must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Isn't it quite the opposite, or though it seems quite the opposite today? Especially on social media, right? Quick to get angry, quick to speak, very slow to hear. Now, with anger, the world gives solutions, such as anger management classes. Okay, maybe there's some good practical hands-on things that can be learned there, albeit Band-Aid applications. Anger support groups, they used to be popular where they had people, you'd get a pillow or something and you'd punch that thing. And you'd say, this is so-and-so and I'm going to hit it and I'm getting my anger out. Well, that's not godly. That's not godly. Pretend the pillow is somebody you're angry with, or put a picture up on a dartboard. That's childish. That's not godly. The world is saying now, it's okay to act out your anger. We see this all across our country, culturally, in our culture. Everyone is offended at something. So everyone has the right to react in anger, it is said. It's understandable, we're told. No, what we have here with unrighteous anger is just depravity on the screen to where we can see it. What does unrestrained anger look like? We just turn on the television or the internet and we can see it. But we should never see it in our hearts and in our lives, brothers and sisters. Biblical remedies for anger. Well, remember the R&Rs, radical repentance required for sinful anger. Radical repentance is required for sinful anger? Does that mean that you may conquer sinful anger, outbursts of anger, just like that? No. But maybe. Proverbs tell us to control ourselves. Proverbs 28:25-28. Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. Isn't it interesting that a man can withhold anger and can be in control when he's at work with a boss who belittles him or a boss who talks down to him, but then he can go home and then he can react in unrighteous anger towards his wife and towards his kids. Restrain it all day when you have to, but then react later on. Anger can be controlled, unrighteous, by the power of the Holy Spirit. First, we must seek the way of love. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is kind. It is not easily angered. If you're angry with somebody or you're bitter towards somebody, start with praying for them. Whatever the anger, do not let the sun go down on that anger. Robust reconciliation. Anger that is not dealt with can very easily turn into bitterness. Whatever the reason for the anger, do not let it simmer. Do not let the sun go down on it. That's what Ephesians tells us. This is very practical for us all. Not letting the sun go down on our anger. Going to God first and foremost. God, I was angry with so-and-so. Please forgive me. I should not have said that. I did say that. Or I acted that way that was ungodly. Forgive me, and then go and tell that person what you have done and seek that forgiveness. Biblical reconciliation. This is tremendous marriage counsel for us as well. Not letting the sun go down on our intense fellowships we have with one another. Or we have these times where we get angry with one another, we say things we should not say. And then we just, okay, well, I'll just sleep on the couch. No, Christians, we pray. We say, well, I got to get up early tomorrow. Well, we shouldn't have acted that way. We shouldn't have sinned in that way. What's more important? Stay up, talk it out, pray it out. Can't always solve every problem, right? But you can at least pray with your spouse. Letting anger set in is to let it simmer overnight. By doing so, you're giving the devil an opportunity. So not only is there sin that's in your heart that's not dealt with, you give the devil room to work. And he's wringing his hands, or rubbing his hands, whatever. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Do not give him a place. Do not give him a room. If you give him a room, he will take your whole house. Do not give him an inch, he will take a mile. Give him a foothold, he will take you down. I was reading in Greek grammar Beyond the Basics, and the author said, one should not give place to the devil by doing nothing about that sin. By doing nothing in the midst of what you're in. So if you do have outbursts of anger, or you are clamming up, and there is bitterness in your heart, and there is anger in your life, which is very visibly obvious, what are you doing about it? To do nothing about it is giving the devil an opportunity in your life. One angry man can destroy a marriage. One angry woman can destroy marriage. One angry parent can ruin their family. One angry person can cause division in a church and mess up the whole congregation. We must not be naive about anger, specifically unrighteous anger. Anger in our own hearts and anger we see in others. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Be angry against the iniquity, the sin in your life, so that you can kill sin. Have a holy indignation against sinful anger in your own life. Put off sinful anger. We'll see more about putting off and putting on, Lord willing, if we make it to next week. But if you struggle with sinful anger, do not struggle alone. Get someone else involved. Tell someone. Be accountable. This is all practical, what I'm sharing with you now. Tell someone and say, I struggle with anger. I'm angry towards my spouse. I say these things. I cuss, whatever it is. And then when we see that, we say, praise God, we've got a man of God here who wants help with sin in his life. And he's not hiding it. That he's not too embarrassed to say, help me in this, brother. Or she's not embarrassed to say, help me in this, sister. We are to put away all bitterness and wrath. These are the characteristics of the old self that was crucified with Christ. Remember the imagery of clothing that Paul uses. I'll remind us very briefly here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. There's putting off, putting on. We've been hearing this. We've been reading this. But now you also put them all aside. Put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness. Themes we would be looking over and over again. An angry attitude, persistent irritability, constant frustration, a rude disposition, however we want to couch it, it must be put to death in the life of a Christian. Practical ways of putting off anger. Revived resolutions. How can we follow Proverbs 29:11? A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Remember what we were told if you're ever caught on fire? What are we supposed to do? Stop, drop, and roll. Oh, that's what they taught me as a kid, anyhow. We're angry. Stop. Don't roll, but stop and drop. Stop when you sense anger in your heart rising. Stop when one of those hot buttons is being pushed. Drop the anger by turning to prayer. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9 says, do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. So when we get angry and it starts especially with someone else, there's a phrase we use in counseling is called conference table. It's a biblical thing we do. We conference table it. Even spouses, we should have this place in our home to where we discuss things that we know these could get very heated if we are not seated down and if we're not praying about these things. How easy it is if we're standing in the kitchen and we're standing up and things are being said, we're moving positions, and it can turn into something very ugly and unrighteous very quick. When we're sitting down and we pray together, and then we talk it out, it can be quite a different story. Praying first. Asking ourselves, is what I am about to say beneficial? Is what I am about to say beneficial? And for us men, intimidation is not a godly attribute. Intimidating others, especially those who we are in communication with, that is getting heated. What else can we do? We can stay quiet. Do not speak until you have control over your emotions. It may take some time. But no one is putting a gun to our head and saying, you must lash out in anger at so-and-so. And don't believe the lie that it's okay to be angry with them. That's a wicked sin, to be angry. That's a phrase that people would use in secular counseling. Are you angry with God? Well, it's okay. No, it's not. And if you're bitter towards God, if you're angry towards God this morning, you need to repent, and you need to repent now. Christians, we can make tremendous strides in our struggle with anger. Tremendous strides. With the power of the Holy Spirit, with help from our brothers and sisters in Christ. But the problem is that many do not want help, or they do not want to admit it because of pride. We also need to remember that when we get angry, there's others watching. Fathers, when you get angry, when I get angry, others are watching. Lose our temper, what does this say about our testimony? If you have sinned in anger against someone, you need to confess it and repent of it. You need to seek forgiveness and not wait. If you're a father that's prone to anger in the home, outbursts of anger, and you haven't got right with your wife and your children, you need to do so. If I can use this phrase, if anyone has a right to be angry today, it's God. God is angry with sinners. There are over 450 references to God's anger and wrath in the Bible from the sources I've read. His wrath is against those who break His law and who reject Christ. And God is just, and He loves righteousness, and He hates sin. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. It says Romans 1:18. God is patient with the wicked, giving sinners opportunity to repent and to flee the wrath to come. God has a holy wrath and anger beyond our comprehension, and His wrath is against sinners who reject Him, who reject His Son, Jesus Christ. But God is also a compassionate God. God is rich in mercy. His wrath that we deserved was placed upon his son who did not deserve on that cross. As he bore the sin of all who would come to believe in him, that all who would repent of their sin and would trust in Christ alone for salvation. God provided a sinless substitute, the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ, where he made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. If you're angry this morning, flee to Christ. Christians, if you're bitter, if you're angry, flee to Christ this morning. Go to him with whatever you're going through. And then go to others. Go to your spouse. Go to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Go to one of the elders. I need help with this sin in my life. Pray for me on this. Even let that door just creak open a little bit. And there's tremendous resources, biblical resources out there to help with anger. And for those who are angry and without Christ, maybe you're not even angry and you're without Christ. God is angry with sinners, and he will deal with them. But he's also compassionate. And he's a God that will save any who come to him in faith and repentance through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh God, as we consider this passage this morning and these other scriptures, Lord, I pray that my words were helpful, beneficial. Lord, anything that was erroneous, please let it fall on deaf ears. But what was true and what was right, Lord, let it sink into our hearts. Thank you that you are a compassionate God. You are a loving God. And you save souls. You rescue the souls of men and women who turn to you. Oh, what a gospel. What a message. And Lord, knowing that we don't have to live in anger and knowing that there's help with anger that we struggle with. That today we would be a people that you have changed in our hearts, O Lord, for the glory of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.